Lord's mercy is on you.
The EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network presents
Believe the Impossible and You Can Do the Incredible.
Fulton Sheen.
A prophet for our times.
What a blessing is our faith.
Hello, I'm Father Andrew Apostoli, a member of the Franciscan Friars of the Renewal. Welcome to my series entitled Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen, A Prophet for Our Times. We're filming in the beautiful church of St. Paul the Apostle on 9th Avenue and 59th Street in Manhattan. A very good setting for our theme today, which will focus on Bishop Sheen as a television evangelist. The reason why this church is so important is because this is where Bishop Sheen's broadcast evangelization actually began. Began with a series of lectures and later on a Lenten series that he gave in this church at the request of the Paulist Fathers. And it was broadcast over a local but very popular radio station with the call letters WLWL. From that little beginning, he went on to a national radio, and he was the speaker on the Catholic Hour, a radio program that was carried over NBC, and the National Council of Catholic Bishops chose Father, or later Monsignor Fulton Sheen, to be the one who would deliver these talks on the Catholic Hour. He was known for his deep understanding of theology and spirituality, his ability to bring in humor and clarity of delivery, because he had been a teacher and a very successful one at Catholic University. That radio ministry, the Catholic Hour, went on for 22 years, but it was to change in 1951. He was asked now to go from the media of radio to the media of television. And he made this point. He made an interesting comparison. He said, radio, he said, is like the Old Testament. He said, you hear the word of God, but you don't see anything. He said, television, he said, is like the New Testament, because you not only hear, but in a sense you see something of the Word incarnate, or at least the one who delivers that message to you. A very interesting comparison. Part of his ability to be insightful and humorous at the same time. How did this all come about? His famous series on television, which is entitled Life is Worth Living. And he was on TV from 1951 to 1957. How did this series, Life is Worth Living, begin? Well, the Newmont Network offered a program, a time for religious programming. They gave it on Tuesday evening. And the reason they did that is because Tuesday evening, the most popular program on television was Milton Berle's Texaco Comedy Hour. I remember as a young boy seeing that on television. At the same time that Bishop Sheen's program, Life is Worth Living, was on television. But Life is Worth Living always got the advantage. I remember my old Italian grandfather telling me, he says, watch this man. I don't know how much he understood of what Bishop Sheen was saying, but he certainly was impressed by the bishop. And I think there were many, many people deeply impressed by Bishop Sheen.
And when television was begun seriously here after World War II, he was one of the first people on television. And of course, what was interesting, we say, well, wasn't that nice of the people on television to put Fulton Sheen on talking his good Christian doctrine? It wasn't like that. Television was desperate to get people to buy television sets, and they needed people who were so attractive that people would buy television sets to see and hear them. And Fulton Sheen was one of those early people who was so attractive that people did, and I need not tell you that television then flourished.
But the background to this opportunity to present his series was the fact that Milton Berle's Texaco Comedy Hour was the most popular program on television. And the time slot that Milton Berle was on was considered on the other channels to be what they called an obit space or spot, or dead time. In other words, nobody could compete with him, so you had to fill in that time. And since the Dumont Network wanted to give some time for religious programming, they figured, let's give this, you know, this dead time to the religious programming, and so they offered it. And Bishop Sheen, at the time Father Sheen, was the one who was chosen to lead this program. Later on, he did become bishop. Right around that same time, he was consecrated a bishop, June 11th, 1951. As I said, that his programming had begun. His very first show was on February the 12th, 1951. And it was the beginning of his series, Life is Worth Living. And initially, his title for the program was, Is Life Worth Living? As if it were a question that he would defend. Later on, he changed it to an emphatic statement, Life is Worth Living. And that became the title by which it was known. So he went on television opposite Milton Berle. And at the same time, they were wondering, could they ever get anybody, any sponsor to sponsor his program? Because again, it was considered dead time, and it seemed almost a waste for sponsors to put their money into supporting a program that couldn't compete. The audience was already committed to Milton Berle. But he did get a sponsor, and his program went on. And after the very first program, he received some 3,000 fan letters, and the ratings of both CBS and NBC went down. Later on, Admiral Television offered to sponsor his program, and I remember the commercials that they had at that time. So Bishop Sheen, any salary that he received, went right to the missions. He didn't want to keep any money for himself. And as time went on, the unbelievable happened. Not only did Bishop Sheen's program survive competing with Milton Berle, but it even overtook him. It became the most popular program on television. In fact, within a year, it was to win an Emmy. Bishop Sheen attracted so many people that he became the number one television program in the nation. At the same time, Milton Berle, you know, who again was, whose program had been overtaken, made this comment. He said, and I quote, "If I'm going to be eased off TV by anyone, it's better that I lose to the one for whom Bishop Sheen is speaking." It's interesting that something that could be so competitive and cause such animosity never caused any animosity whatsoever. Bishop Sheen and Milton Berle remained lifelong good friends. In 1952, as I mentioned, Bishop Sheen won an Emmy. Later on, he was awarded the Look Television Award for three consecutive years. And when he won his Emmy, at the same time, Bob Hope had won an Emmy, and when he went up to get his Emmy, Bob Hope wanted to thank all of his writers. And so Bishop Sheen did the same thing, and he said, "I want to thank my writers too, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John." Bishop Sheen always insisted on wearing his bishop's garb, the traditional bishop's garb, even with his little zucchetto. And he always appeared as a bishop, yet he appealed to people of all types of backgrounds, all kinds of... He had an ecumenical appeal that was enormous.
It appears that almost the whole Bible Belt, the good Protestants of our country, recognized a great and clear preacher, and a very large part of his audience was Protestant America because he spoke so well.
They estimated that percentage-wise, not actual numbers, but according to percentage of the population, his highest percentage of his listening audience was Jewish. The second highest percentage was Protestant, and Catholics were third. Interesting. He had a tremendous appeal. I remember stories of many non-Catholics who testified that in their families they watched him faithfully every week. He certainly was breaking new ground for the church in America, helping people to come to know the Catholic Church and to better accept it, or at least appreciate that it, appreciate it in terms of having a proper understanding of who Catholics were and how we lived, what our faith was all about. In his radio programs, he stressed the message of the Catholic faith. It was called the Catholic Hour, and therefore the content that he would explain on radio emphasize the teachings of the church, emphasize the moral dictates of the Catholic faith, how a good Catholic should live, the spirituality of a Catholic. When it came to television, on the other hand, he had to be more general. He was appealing to a wider audience. He didn't bring in specifically Catholic things, but his morality was always faithful to that of the Church, instructing people of goodwill, encouraging them to lead good lives according to their own religious beliefs. So he was able, by his kindness, by his wisdom and his wit, to draw people along in a very, very popular way. And he left a lasting impression. I remember receiving a letter from a person who told me that her parents, or actually her in-laws, were people who had a great prejudice against Catholics, but they faithfully watched Bishop Sheen. And one of the in-law, the father-in-law, passed away. And the mother-in-law kept holding on to her memories of Bishop Sheen, and on her deathbed asked to be received into the Catholic Church. And the daughter-in-law who wrote to me said, I believe it was because she had seen Bishop Sheen, and she never forgot the impact that he made on her life. So he had a gentle way about him. And the popularity of his program was estimated that 30 million people watched his program every Tuesday night, and far exceeding the number of Catholics in America at the time. At the same time, he would receive sometime on the average between 8 and 10,000 letters a day. Sometimes in one day he recorded receiving some 30,000 letters. He used to say that he had to be very careful about what he mentioned on the program. One time he said he mentioned that he liked chocolate. And he said the next day, when he went back to his office at the Propagation of the Faith, because he was, while he was giving that series, he was also in charge of the Propagation of the Faith, he said he could hardly walk down the corridor of the office of his offices there at the Society for the Propagation of the Faith, because there was so much chocolate had been delivered.
We used to kid him a bit, because he went on television or radio, I've forgotten what it was, when he came back to New York. And the man interviewing him said, now, Archbishop, how do you live? I mean, you know, I have a small apartment. He said, well, do you cook? And the Archbishop said, yes. He said, I go in when I come back from whatever I'm doing, and I scramble a couple of eggs. And, he mentioned that once or twice, and the fellow laughed because he received 1,000 dinner invitations within the next week.
So he had to be careful what he said, he liked.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Let's return to Fulton Sheen, a prophet for our times, on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
When he was a teacher, he always gave a great emphasis in the preparation of his classes. We know that he had the philosophy that he would never use notes from the year before. He'd rip them all up and start all over again. He always felt that he wanted to continue learning. He didn't want to become stale, so he always revised his notes and prepared something new. And this took hours. He put in about 6 hours of study and preparation for every 1 hour of class, and sometimes even give his class lecture, even in different languages, in order that he could grasp the material. He used to say that in teaching, he said the teacher needed to know the material inside out, and from the inside out too, that in such a way that he would be able to explain the material simply, and so that his students could grasp it, and at the same time to be able to answer any questions that his students might have. Well, that kind of dedication in the classroom carried over even more so to his dedication for his weekly television program on Life is Worth Living. He took about anywhere from 20 to 30 hours of preparation for each program. That included his time of prayer, in which he would reflect on the message that he was going to be giving. Again, he would even practice and rehearse his program, sometimes going from English into Italian, then English into French, and back to English again, so that he again knew the material inside out. He never used notes. He never did that. As a priest preaching, I'm in amazement that he would never use any notes. He said it was important that it all came from the person. And at the same time, he never had, on TV, he never used notes also. And he never had a teleprompter. He never had cue cards for his telecasts. The only thing he did have, there was a clock on the front of the camera that he was facing. And that was necessary because when he came to 3 minutes before the end of the program, and remember, in those days, everything was live. There was no pre-filming of any of his shows. Everything was done live. And 3 minutes before the program ended, he would go into his final emphatic point. And that's why he always had his conclusion already in his mind. It was a minute and a half conclusion because he had to allow 1.5 minutes at the very end of the half-hour segment for the commercial. And I remember talking to Tom Morgan, who worked with Bishop Sheen. He was the voice of Bishop Sheen's program for a while there. That he told me, he said sometimes he would be in a sound booth with the president of the Dumont Broadcasting Corporation, and it would be 3 minutes before the end of the program, and Bishop Sheen would be into a point, you know, developing this point, and they would be looking at their watch and saying, how is he going to possibly end this program in a minute and a half? And all of a sudden, it's kind of almost like a crescendo would happen, and Bishop Sheen would bring the program right to an end, tie everything together, and he would stop, and they would look at their watch, and it was 1.5 minutes before the half-hour segment was over. In other words, there was a minute and a half for the commercial, and that's just what he had to give. Amazing how he could do that, how he could get into such deep thought, keep his concentration without cue cards, without notes, and end it right on the moment. What a gift he had. Or as he would say, it wasn't so much a natural talent or ability. He said it all came from the Blessed Sacrament. In fact, before every one of his shows, he used to go over to the Mary Chapel at St. Patrick's Cathedral and pray before the Blessed Sacrament. Many times, but before he gave a talk, he would spend anywhere from 20 to 40 minutes in prayer, you know, so that the Lord, the Spirit of God, would be in him and give that power to his words.
Just the other day here at St. Patrick's Cathedral, we received a preview, the little kneeler on which he said his prayers, and we keep it here with now some veneration.
The only props he used was a blackboard and had a swivel on it so he could be turned from one side to the other. And of course he had his famous guardian angel who cleaned the board for him. There were a couple of people who did that over the years, especially one young man who was Jewish, and he was Bishop Sheen's guardian angel, and so when the camera would focus off the blackboard for a while and you'd come back to it and you'd see it all clean, and he would always say, my guardian angel cleaned the blackboard for me. He always wrote the letters JMJ at the top of his blackboard, standing of course for the names Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. And he influenced a lot of people in doing that, including yours truly. I always do that on my papers, by the letter F there for Francis too. So he, on all his letters too, you would always find JMJ He also wanted those letters put on his tombstone. Life is Worth Living, the series, ran from 1951 to 1957. Later on, he was to do another series on Christ in the 60s entitled Quo Vadis America. And then in another program, the Bishop Sheen program in 1964. He was also to, because of his popularity, to be in contact with many famous people. For example, Jackie Gleason always admired Bishop Sheen, and he was amazed at Bishop Sheen's timing, his poise, his manner of delivery. I mean, remember in those days, even the Jackie Gleason program was, again, a live program, and he was amazed at how the bishop would get his programs done just on time, and of course, the power of his message. He knew Ed Sullivan. One time when Ed Sullivan was sick, Bishop Sheen went over to see him, and Ed Sullivan's wife, who was Jewish, said later on that she believed it was Bishop Sheen's visit to her husband in the hospital that helped him in his recovery. Milton Berle, as I mentioned before, they remained good friends until the death of Bishop Sheen. It's interesting, they used to call, the media called Milton Berle Uncle Milty, and they called Bishop Sheen, Fulton Sheen, Uncle Fulty.
His humor was perfect.
Among the most interesting stories to me is his ability to mimic. And only those closest to him ever saw it. But apparently, and I didn't, but I was told about it, apparently he could do Charlie Chaplin and an assortment of movie stars. And one of the ladies I interviewed who had worked for him for years was reported by a niece seeing this lady on the telephone constantly in tears from laughter, being on the phone with Fulton Sheen.
In a certain parish, a couple had taken a lottery ticket, and they won. The husband, however, was getting along in years and was suffering from heart trouble. And the wife was afraid that if she told her husband that he had won $50,000, that he would really die of heart trouble. So she went to the pastor and she said, "Father, I wish you would break the news to him in such a way that it would not kill him." So the pastor spoke about many odd things, and finally he said to the man, "Suppose you won $50,000 in a lottery, what would you do with it?" "Oh," he said, "I'd give it to you, Father." Then the priest dropped dead.
Bishop Sheen found himself a spokesman for the United States, that between his 22 years on radio with the Catholic Hour and his 7 years with the program of Life is Worth Living, almost for a 30-year span, Bishop Sheen was a great voice raised for the Catholic Church. As someone pointed out, he preached to more Protestants than any other Catholic priest ever did. He was Time magazine did an article on him and said of him, he was perhaps the most famous preacher in the United States, certainly America's best known Roman Catholic priest and the newest star of television. Bishop Sheen did all of this because of his love of Christ, his desire to make the word known and loved, to instruct the people of God in the truth, in the ways of the gospel, to inspire them, and to reach out to others so that all people of goodwill might be able to receive something of the doctrine and moral teaching of the church, so that it might inspire them to lead good and holy lives. He certainly touched the lives of many, many people, and he brought home the theme that life is worth living, a message we need to continue to hear and be reminded of, especially in our times. May the Lord give you his peace.
For more audio and videotapes by Archbishop Sheen, contact Keep the Faith Foundation at www.keepthefaith.org. Or write to Keep the Faith Foundation,
50 South Franklin Turnpike, Ramsey, New Jersey, 07446.
Join us again next week at this time when Father Andrew Apostoli examines the life and work of Archbishop Fulton Sheen here on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.